Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of the Michigan Golf Podcast. And I'm your host, Garrett Smith, and this week on the pod, we are heading up north to Manistee, Michigan, kind of getting out of the Grand Rapids area a little bit. I was up that way these last couple of days here for my grandmother's 90th birthday party, which was really, really cool. It was great to see them. They winter in Florida, and then they come back, and they head up north for the summers here. And so it was great to see Grandma and Grandpa and celebrate such an occasion as a 90th birthday party. So, but, of course, snuck out, got in 18 holes of golf at Manistee National Golf Club there, just on the south side of Manistee. They've got 36 holes. I've played 18 of them this past weekend, so we're going to talk about that. And just kind of maybe revisit a few things from the previous pod, but also just predominantly looking forward. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break for some ads and then come back to you guys with some cool, fresh, new golf content from Manistee National. Hey, welcome back. And awesome. Thanks for riding out the quick ad there before we get to the golf. So again, like I said, we're going to touch on Manistee National this week on the pod. But again, kind of revisit the last pod real quick. I had kind of been thinking, I know it was kind of a whiny, pouty pod, but appreciate all y'all that stayed tuned and listened. I mentioned a couple of times, hey, if you want to connect and kind of talk through some of the stuff that I talked about in the previous pod about just kind of the ups and downs of golf and kind of the inner demons and the struggles that we all deal with sometimes when going from kind of personal play to competitive play and stuff like that. But yeah, so anyway, I realized I didn't let you guys know how or where to contact me. So best chance is Instagram. That's going to be kind of where I'm at most frequently. It's just at gsmithgolf. I do have a Facebook page, but I don't use it all that often, and I don't tweet. And so it might be more beneficial for some of this podcast stuff if I did. But anyway, if you did listen and you do want to kind of hit me up and chat a little bit more, feel free to shoot me a quick message on Instagram, again, at gsmithgolf, and we can kind of talk more there. So anyway, but to kind of revisit this week's pod, so if you guys recall, I did talk a little bit last week about how I played in the first round of the West Michigan Am with a good buddy of mine that I've played a lot of golf with over the years, and he's from Manistee, so it was super cool to get back up there, and him and I've played Manistee National together countless times over the last long duration of time. But so it was an interesting experience this week, and we got out together again, like I said, in the West Michigan Am, and I played atrocious. I made far too many double bogeys and far too many mistakes, and had a large amount of poor golf shots, and we kind of talked about it a little bit after the round and said, hey man, I was like, what did you see out there? What was different? And we played together a long time, what'd you notice? And he just kind of came back and said, hey man, you're too technical. You look like you're just kind of drowning in technique and thoughts of fear and anxiety. And you just look like you're steering it and guiding it and all that stuff. So anyway, I took that to heart and kind of thought about that a lot. And as a result of kind of both my play at the West Michigan Am, I wasn't in the right headspace and stuff, and then kind of trying to dive a little bit deeper into what I was struggling with, I ended up withdrawing from the Michigan Am qualifier at Kauffman. So at my home course, a place where I kind of spoke to highly, and I still obviously love the track, I was disappointed to withdraw from the Michigan Am qualifier there, but I felt like it was the right thing to do. And I gotta tell you guys, I mean, just between talking in this pod about some of the struggles from last a week and a half ago or whenever that was, golfer's memory, right? You kind of forget the bad and hang on to the good and short-term memory, all that good stuff. But anyway, so I went to and thought about it heavily in the West Michigan Am. Performance wasn't good. And I figured if I'm not in a good headspace and if I'm not in position to go out and truly give my best effort to try and qualify for a state amateur championship, I thought I would be better off taking the WD and kind of going from there. And so that's what I did. So between talking again about the poor performance on the pod and then WDing from the Michigan Am qualifier, it was a very liberating experience. It was, as soon as I got that WD finalized and stuff, it felt like a relief. And I hate to say that, because like I said, I'm not one to give up and I'm not one to quit, and I'm not going to do either of those things in the pursuit that I'm on. But it is okay. I know it's okay to struggle. It's okay to work through things, and it's okay to, if you're not there, then don't be there, because there's no sense in taking that shovel and digging your hole any deeper than it already is. When if you've got the chance to maybe step back and think about things and maybe try and refill that hole a little bit, refill it with confidence and good golf and good shots and just good headspace, it's okay to take that break and give yourself the opportunity to regroup and gather yourself. Because again, it's just there's no sense in taking that shovel, digging that hole deeper and making things worse. Because I could have showed up at Kauffman and I could have brought probably a respectable game, but I watched the results. I had a good friend of mine playing in the qualifier as well, so I wanted to see how he did. And I checked the results. I peeped, of course, and it was even par. Even par was top 10, and that was the cut line to qualify for the State Am. And, you know, I mean, could I have shot even par? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you never, like I said, you never know who's going to show up, Jekyll or Hyde. So, anyway, odds weren't there. Chances weren't good for me. So I was glad to take the WD and kind of look forward to some personal fun and get out and play golf again over the weekend and regroup. So anyway, let's go to Manistee now. Manistee National. I played golf with my buddy that I played with in the West Michigan Am in the first round. And so we got out there and I said, you know what, man, let's play. He goes, you bring your game face, da da da, talking a little smack, because that's what we do. But I said, yeah, let's play for something. And we, of course, to make it competitive, just have a little fun, make sure we're hitting shots and focused and putting things out. We decided to just play match play and just standard match play. And we're just playing for a beer, nothing fancy. So after the round, loser buys. And we thought, okay, cool. And so anyway, first hole at Manistee National. We'll kind of touch on the course here real quick. We played Kent Hook Valley, which is on the east side of the road. They've got 36 holes there, as I mentioned. They've got Kent Hook Valley on the east and Cutter's Ridge on the west. And both are great golf courses, and both are very different golf courses. I know if I were living in the Manistee area, I would hands down be a member at this club, because having access to 36 holes is huge. Just for ease of access, ease of play. I mean, chances are when you've got 36 holes out there, there's a good chance that you could probably show up at any point in time during the day, weekday, weekend, and get out and tee it up. So, awesome place. And then they've got a hotel there on site too, so if you want to stay and kind of do a little stay and play package, they do those. But Kent Hook Valley is where we're going to highlight, because that's the 18 that we played. And if you are familiar with it, it is a fun golf course. It is very much a northern Michigan golf course, rolling hills, good undulations. But what was really cool, it's tree lined, but again, kind of fairways are friendly, relatively forgiving. The trees are a little bit, they frame the holes, again, not too dissimilar from some previous courses I've talked about, but they frame the holes well, and it's just a really, really pretty golf course. And I hadn't played there in a long time. I hadn't played Manistee National with my buddy here in probably 8 years, I guess. And so in that 8 years' time, obviously things change. And most recently, they've taken on new ownership, and the new owners have decided to do some course renovations, a little bit of a redesign. Not totally. They didn't bring in a new architect or move a ton of stuff around. They've built some new tee boxes. They're extending and making a few of the greens a little bit larger than they were before. But what's really cool is they're doing some really, really cool bunkering. And the course predominantly was just fairway, rough, and occasionally off the beaten path. If you got too astray, there was some kind of long, wispy grass, and not really fescue. You could find your ball, you could hit out of it, all that good stuff. But it was just there to stir up trouble if you got, again, too far off the fairways. But now they've built a number of really well-placed and really well-designed bunkers. And so not just greenside, but fairway ones too. And so there's some cool spots like hole one. If you're familiar with the course, or if you do get out there and play it, hole one is a par four. And from the back tees, it's 450-ish. It makes for a pretty daunting start. But they've built a fairway bunker now that runs down the left side. Probably, if I were to guess, unfortunately, my ball was right side. Well, fortunately or unfortunately. But probably from 200 yards all the way up to maybe 30 yards from the green is where this fairway bunker runs, and it contours really nicely. And what's cool is it's so big that it extends all the way over to hole eight. Hole eight's a par five that runs back and parallel to it. And so it's, it was really, really cool having these kind of design elements that come into play on multiple holes. And so they added that bunker there. Hole two is a par four, again, probably 420-ish, if maybe a little bit. I think they added a new tee on two, which kind of lengthened things out. But they added a fairway bunker on the right, which is huge, because previously if you missed right on two at Cant Hook Valley, you would be punching out or at least dealing with tree trouble. Now they've got a bunker there to kind of catch you and give you an opportunity to still play to the green. Three, they added some bunkering there. Again, some pretty awesome kind of fairway slash approach bunkers that'll catch your second shot on the par five to the right there if you leak one out there. And then they've added some kind of greenside bunkers. And that's where they really did something cool with the putting surface. So that is already a multi-tiered green, effectively three tiers. They've got a lower front, kind of a middle, and then a back tier that again, raises up kind of like a little flight of stairs, you know. And so what they did now is they have extended the green longer. So the green is much, much deeper than it was. And it's still, they're growing it in, so it's still new and unplayable, of course. But now it's got two tiers going down the back. So you've got three steps up, two steps down, and bunkering around the back to catch anything that goes long. But I got to think, I mean, I was talking with my buddy, it's like that green's going to be effectively 50 yards deep probably. So, I mean, if you're going for that green in two and it's a back left hole location and you end up front middle, you got a long putt. Or I hate to say it, because if you've got the skills and you're aware of kind of where the bottom of your arc is, if you want to hit pitch shots on greens, I don't highly recommend it. Superintendents don't love it. I used to work golf course maintenance, and we used to get a little frustrated with guys that took divots on greens. So, you didn't hear it from me. Don't recommend it. Don't hit and pitch shots on putting surfaces. But if you just take the putter, hit the long putt, or hey, maybe bump it around a three wood. Take that three wood out and do that sort of thing. But anyway, lots of cool bunkers all across the course. Another kind of noteworthy one was on 11. That's another one that short par four, and you got to hug the left side because right's jail. You can't, if you go too far right, and even in the right side of the fairway, the way that it doglegs and your approach to the green, you can get stuck behind some trees and you get kind of in a pinch there. So left previously was all trees, and that was no fun either. So now they've done some cool bunkering there to allow you to at least hit it left and miss it left and then still play to the green, which is going to be great, not just for pace of play, but also for your score. And it's just well done with the bunkering, and pretty stoked to see how everything finishes up, because it was all still marked as ground under repair, not quite a finished project yet. So I'll definitely be trying to get out there again later this year and see how it all kind of polishes up, because it's going to be really cool. But course was in great condition, as it always is. Greens are some of my favorite to putt on. They're fast, but they're not too fast. They're a great speed to hole putts. Your uphillers you got to hit, and the downhillers you just got to be aware of. And so it's a fun golf course to play, and fairways are good, tees are good. Just I highly recommend, if you're in the Manistee area, to get out and give Manistee National a shot. And Cant Hook Valley is going to be the friendlier of the two courses. Cutter's Ridge does have a reputation of being more difficult, which I do agree with, and that is predominantly because it is a tighter squeeze. And it's much more of a strategic golf course. You're going to be hitting more irons off tees. You're going to be playing from point A to point B and doing much more of the position golf style, where Cant Hook Valley gives you the opportunity to let the big dog eat and kind of bomb and gouge a little bit more, where you can kind of play and be a little more free and just kind of see what the game gives you that day. But anyway, we're going to kind of rewind, circle back, just a quick overview of what the course is kind of doing these days. But so I play with my buddy again, and playing for a beer, and we go out there and want to have a good match. And at this point, I'm going to fast forward now to hole eight. We're on hole eight tee box, and at this point in the round, I'm a bogey free two under par, and he is one under par, so I'm one up in the match. After kind of trading a few birdies, he birdied the third, I birdied the fourth, a few pars in a row, and then I birdied the seventh after knocking an 8-iron in to probably about 3 feet from 160, 165 yards out. That was a pretty slick shot. But so we get to 8 tee box, and then a par five, and my buddy Zach, he asks, he goes, I gotta ask you, man. He goes, what's different? What's different between now and last Saturday? Because last Saturday you couldn't make anything but double bogey, and now you're 200 par. And I kind of think he was dogging me a little bit. In hindsight, maybe a little gamesmanship, because I wouldn't put it past him. He's probably thinking, hey, man, you know, man, you make a lot of doubles last time we played together. Maybe, and you didn't make any birdies. Maybe you could do that again. And just kind of a little gamesmanship. But I told him, I said, man, it's just psychological, you know? I mean, golf is a fun game, and when I'm playing for fun, I play well. And sometimes when I get in tournament mode and I feel like every shot matters probably far more than it does, and it gets tough. And that's the thing. And in tournament golf, my dispersion goes from maybe a few yards off the fairway either way to 50 yards off the fairway either way. I mean, we're talking fairways over, and if there's not fairway there, then it's out of bounds, it's in hazards, it's in jail. So, but we had a good round together. We had a ton of fun. I ended up making 4 birdies and 3 bogeys to shoot 1 under par. That dog, though, he ended up making a few more birdies and a few less bogeys. He ended up shooting 2 under par. And he kind of tried running away with things a little bit. I gave him a hole on 9, a par 3. I ended up 3 putting and making bogey, and to end up being all square at the turn. And then we both birdied the 10th, which is a par 5. But then he goes and stuffs one on 11 and taps in for birdie and takes a 1-up lead. Next thing you know, I rattle off 2 bogeys, and next thing I'm 3 down. 3 down through 13 holes. Thankfully, I was able to kind of, he returned the favor, gave me a quick bogey on 14 to get me back to 2 down, and then I birdied 15 to go 1 down, and then we just kind of cruised into the house. And man, I had opportunities. I had opportunities on 17 and 18 to make birdie and square the match. But you know what? He it's give and take. You know, he lips out a few putts. I don't make a few putts, and I would have felt bad. Zach, if you're listening to this, man, I would have felt bad coming to your home turf after playing atrocious golf together 8 days prior, 7 days prior, and then just taking you down, man. So, I mean, call it what you will. You want a good match, call it. I mean, I'm not going to say I let you win. I'm not going to say I gave it to you, but, I mean, you didn't get a 1-up win for nothing. So, hope you enjoyed that cold beer, and we'll get back out there together too and duke it out and have another match. But, like I said, just great golf, great fun. Weekend was great. The weather was just primo. Sunny, high in the upper 60s, nice shorts and a pullover weather. I did give him a little grief, though, because we teed off pretty early, and when I woke up, it was 44 degrees, and I told him, I said, you going to turn the heat on before we tee off? Because I don't play when it's this cold, man. And he goes, yeah, I know you don't, and that's why I planned it. And just playing that trash talk game. It's a lot of fun with him, though. So we'll get back out there. We'll maybe take him on the other side, get out to Cutter's Ridge and see who the better strategist is. See who can be more of a tactician and dissect that golf course in a better way. So Zach, our next match, Cutter's Ridge. Whenever you're ready, man, I'll buzz back up there and we'll get her done. But looking forward now, I've got another event potentially on the calendar this weekend. The Grand Rapids City Match Play is coming up, and it's at Sunnybrook Country Club. So if you're in the Grand Rapids area and a private club member, Sunnybrook is probably one you're familiar with. It's a good golf course. It's a good match play golf course. There's definitely some holes out there that'll bite and bite hard, and then there's some holes out there where you can make some birdies, and it'll be fun. They usually make one of the par fours drivable. Par fives are pretty gettable. So again, it's a right there in front of you golf course, pretty straightforward, pretty flat, but the rough can be penalizing. Greens are usually pretty good, and it's one of those where don't bite off more than you can chew, because you're probably going to regret it type golf courses. So it looks easier than it is, but it'll sneak up and it'll get you. And so I might sign up for that. Haven't quite determined that yet. Just kind of seeing how the week goes. But I, again, built a lot of confidence over the last weekend, and looking forward to getting back out to competition instead of dreading getting back out to competition. So it's a slow and steady climb back to the rhythm of the game and get back in the swing of things. So got out and did a little practice on my lunch break, rolled some putts, and just kind of kept it pretty low key. and we'll probably do that a couple more times and maybe jump into the match play later this week. So we'll see, and I'll definitely keep you guys posted, and the pod will come out next Monday. If I do play in the match play, hey, we'll highlight it. If I don't, we'll maybe highlight why that is and maybe what else happened in the wonderful world of golf here in West Michigan. But just wanted to put out a quick pod today and share kind of what went on over the past weekend and how we're trying to rebound from some of our struggles. Again, if you want to get in touch, contact me on Instagram at gsmithgolf, and I'll look for some of those messages if you guys want to hit me up, and we'll go from there, all right? But thanks again for tuning in. Love kind of keeping you guys updated, and appreciate the listenership. So we'll look forward to catching up with you guys next week. And until then, enjoy the warm weather, highs in the 90s this week, play some good golf, and we'll catch up with you soon. Hit them straight.